With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this fifth Sunday in Lent, our hymns are 5435, 605, 575, and 537. Pastor Mark Neville's sermon is entitled, And These Bones Live, taken from Ezekiel 37, 1 through 4. Ron Baker is at the console of the organ. Welcome, and our Lord bless our worship this morning. You're welcome to sing with us as we sing our opening hymn, Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain. Fourth.
Welcome to Christian worship at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs. Welcome those here with us in person as well as those listening over the radio. It is the fifth Sunday in Lent. Our opening hymn this morning is hymn 435, Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain, hymn 435. Together in divine service setting four. It begins on page 203 of the Lutheran Service Book, or you may follow along in your service folder. I invite you to stand for confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, if you kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We speak together responsively the words of the intro from Psalm 116. Precious in the sight of the Lord, I love the Lord because he has heard
my voice and my pleas for mercy.
Because he inclined his ear to me,
therefore I will call on him as long as I live.
The snares of death encompassed me, the pains of Sheol laid hold on me.
I suffered distress and anguish.
Then I called on the name of the Lord.
O Lord,
for you have delivered my soul from death,
my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Precious in the sight of the Lord. Let us pray the collect of the day. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading appointed for this fifth Sunday in Lent is recorded in the 37th chapter of the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel writes, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is recorded in the 8th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans in the New Testament. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord. We sing hymn 582, God's Word is Our Great Heritage, hymn 582. We stand for the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. When Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. This is the gospel of the Lord. We join together in the common confession of the Christian faith. We make use of the words of the Apostles' Creed. They are printed for us on the inside back cover of our hymnals.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. You may be seated. We invite the children to come forward for the children's message. As they do, we sing hymn 605, stanza 1, hymn 605, stanza 1.
Thank you. food and water. Anybody else? You were king or queen, you could do anything, right? Would you buy endless amounts of toys? No? Would you go on vacation? Would you skip school?
Yeah.
Would you go to Disney World as often as you could? Because if you were king or queen, you could do what you wanted to, right? And you guys were so grumpy at first. Nobody would just go buy all the toys they could want.
Starts with a J. Is that helpful? Close. Josiah. Josiah was an 8-year-old king, and he removed false gods. Do you know what a false god is? Exactly, like an idol, like something that somebody worships that is not correct. So Josiah removed all the idols from the land. He destroyed places where idols were worshipped, and he removed false religious leaders. Why do you think he would do that? Why would he destroy idols and remove false religious leaders? That's right, because it's not right. And who should we all be praising and thanking? God. There's only one God. That's right, exactly. Because those false idols, they were preventing people from growing close to the real God that we believe in, the creator who loved them very much. These good decisions aren't all that makes Josiah special. He's special because he chose to serve God at a young age. Do you guys serve God? You do. What's some ways that you serve God? Eli? By praying. How else do we serve God?
By singing.
You're exactly right. Charlotte? By going to church. Myra? By telling God that we love him. Can we share the good news of God with other people? Are we being like Josiah when we do that? So even though you're not the king or queen, can you still be like Josiah and tell the good news? Absolutely, you can. You're right. And you might never be king or queen, right? You're not going to be king or queen of the world. Maybe at school for a little bit, but not of the world. So remember that you can always be like Josiah. You can forgive your family and your friends. If somebody says something that makes you mad, should we just not talk to them forever? Or should we forgive them? We should forgive them. You're exactly right. And that's how we can be like Josiah. We can pray and praise God and tell everybody the good news. And what's the good news? What's the good news? What did Jesus do? Yeah, he died on the cross to save us from our sins. Don't be shy. Say it loud so everybody can hear it. It's good news. Will you guys fold your hands and pray with me? Repeat after me. Dear God, guide us to follow you with all our heart. Amen.
We'll continue with the singing of our hymn of the day. It is hymn 575, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, hymn 575. mercy and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and our suffering, dying, and rising Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon meditation is our Old Testament reading from Ezekiel chapter 37. 6 years ago, this past week, we shut down our society in order to stop the spread of COVID. We were not able to go anywhere. There was to be no unnecessary travel. Where I was living at the time in the People's Republic of Illinois, almost everything was closed except the tax-producing liquor stores and the newly legalized marijuana shops, which were growing like a weed. Couldn't help myself on that one. There were no sporting events to attend. There were no games on the television. What was there to do at home? Well, the old-time jigsaw puzzles became popular again. We pulled them out of our closets and off of our shelves. We laid them out on card tables, and we spent our lockdown time putting the pieces together. The largest puzzle I have ever heard of is 12,000 pieces. Once complete, it covers an area larger than the surface of a ping pong table. God's vision given to Ezekiel in this passage is similar to a jigsaw puzzle of skeletal remains. It is a valley that is full of dry bones. Can these bones live? Is God's question to his prophet. God has the answer, for he is able to give life to these bones. This is symbolic of the life that God gives to us as his people. Our sinful nature has turned us into spiritual corpses, a veritable bone pile. But our triune God can, and he does, give life back to us. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, our God recreates life for us as his people. If you read through the major prophet Ezekiel, you will find that it is tough sledding. The first two-thirds of it is bad news, or we would say God's law. Twice already, the Babylonians have taken people from the nation of Judah into exile. And God is preparing his exiles in Babylon for even worse news. God calls Ezekiel to preach to his people who are far from home that their nation will be defeated and their capital will be overrun. God's holy temple in Jerusalem also will be destroyed. Now, they were not the only nation at that time to lose their homeland. But they were the Almighty God's chosen people. They thought that they were immune from such defeat and tragedy. But they had been faithless to the one true God. They had turned their backs on him. Instead, they worshiped false gods and fake idols. Now they are experiencing what life is like, or really the lack of true life, without the presence of their loving God. These people feel alone. They're lost. They're lifeless, like dismembered skeletons. More than just dead bodies, they are corpses scattered across the ground. They sense that they are cut off from their God, with no hope of life. And so also do they appear in God's eyes and in the vision that God gives to Ezekiel. It is a valley of dry bones. Well, this valley of dry bones is really the sinful world all around us. A young man kills his grandparents in their home. It is a dry bones act. A school is attacked by an angry former student. It is a dry bones act. A business is shot up by a disgruntled former employee. It is a dry bones act.
One group of people tries to wipe out a neighboring group of people in an attempt at ethnic cleansing. It is a dry bones act. When we can't figure out something as basic as gender or how to use our God's gift of our human sexuality, that is a dry bones act. When we spend 40 hours a week watching television or scanning Facebook, but less than 1 hour in worship and in Bible study, that is a dry bones act. When big churches with long membership lists have empty pews and closed Bibles, it is a dry bones act. But these dry bones are not just out there somewhere. Dry bones are not just the problem of those other people. For our own spirits are naturally skeletons. This valley of dry bones is our own spiritual existence apart from God. For on our own we are dead in our trespasses and sins, as Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 1. And because of this, we too feel lost, alone, and unsure of our future. We also lack hope. We look into the mirror only to see a spiritual skeleton looking back at us. Yeah, those dry bones stare back at us. We look around to see the bone pile that is this rebellious world, and we echo the question of our text, can these bones live? And our answer is, God, only you know. For he who first gave life to our bodies is the only one who can put life back into our dead spirits. And now we go back to Ezekiel's ministry. Bad has happened to God's people. The nation's been defeated. The capital is in ruins and the temple is now destroyed. Their addiction to idolatry has caused them to hit a spiritual rock bottom. But now they are ready for God's good news. Now it is time for God's gospel. And the last third of Ezekiel's message are God's promises of restoration and a return of the people to their homeland. His people will rebuild their holy city, and they will put up a new temple of their Lord. God says to his prophet Ezekiel, prophesy. Now, there has never been a more unpromising congregation to whom a preacher was called to speak than this valley of dry bones in our text. But God's word has miraculous, life-giving power. His promises bring to life the most lifeless of spiritually dry people. Tell them, God says, tell them that they still are my people. I will bring them back to the promised land. I will give to them my spirit and my life. And this word of God brings these dry bones back together. And then an even further dose of God's word gives them his breath of life. They stand up and they stand tall as God's true army, the army of God's people, enlivened and empowered by God's Spirit, armed with his forgiveness, life, and salvation. Well, what God shows to Ezekiel here is a vision of what he later will do for all people. That is the reality of resurrection fulfilled years later. We see that happen in our gospel reading today. Jesus brings to life a lifeless corpse, one dead for 4 days. Lazarus's death is defeated by Jesus' word. But this too is only a preview of what Jesus himself soon will do. He will first die instead of and on behalf of us, dry-boned people that we are. A corpse himself, Jesus rose from the dead. He came back to life to give life back to all of God's chosen people. The miracle that God shows Ezekiel in this vision is his victory over death. A victory that God won by raising his own son from the dead. This miracle continues today. The same God who raised his son Jesus from the dead offers us his Holy Spirit to put our dry bones back together. Apart from our triune God, we are dead to life and we are alive to sin. But with the Holy Spirit within us, we are instead dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can these bones live? Yes, they can. How? By the power of God's Spirit at work in his Word. Are you worried about your life? Cling to your holy baptism, where God has made you his chosen child. Are you feeling lost and unloved? Listen to God's promises in his written word of the Holy Bible. Are you burdened by guilt and shame? Come to the Lord's Supper, where Jesus' sacrificed body and blood are present to say to you, your sins are forgiven you. These means of God's grace give us God's Spirit with the power to live as his children, putting sin's desires behind us and putting the holiness of Jesus Christ upon us. What about the world around us? What about people who now are living apart from God? They look to us much like those dry bones looked to Ezekiel in our text. So now God says to us, prophesy, speak my word to them, tell them of my love for them in Jesus, be an agent of my Holy Spirit. And then listen. Listen for the rattle of those dry bones. That may not happen right away. It may not happen all at once. For the Holy Spirit works when and where he pleases. But by the power of God's gospel message, the driest, the most hopeless looking pile of spiritual bones can come together. The life-giving breath of God's Spirit will come and work on those dry bones, raising them from their spiritual grave. And then the result is their faith in Jesus as Savior and their new and eternal life with us as our Lord Jesus lives and reigns forever. Our God has put the pieces of a puzzle together for us. The centerpiece is Christ's cross, and the background is his empty tomb. The picture that is portrayed on the puzzle is the living Jesus. Put to death because of our sins, he has risen to life. And in Jesus, our sins are dead. But our bodies and our spirits live by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Can these bones live? Yes, they can, by the grace of God in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord and in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our worship with the prayer of the church. I invite you to stand. In our prayer of the church, we remember those who are listed for us in our worship folder. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in holy baptism, you have given us the new birth of water and of the Spirit. Make your children strong in your Spirit, that they may shun the works of the flesh and live in this world, expecting the resurrection and the life of the world to come. We pray that you would bless with success those who are sharing your gospel of salvation in those parts of the world and with those people who have not yet heard of your Son Jesus as their Savior. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, bless our synodical president, our district president, our circuit visitor, and our future pastor, John Engvall, and his wife, Teffy, as they plan their move to serve us here at Emmanuel by proclaiming your word to us and serving us with your sacraments. That your Spirit's breath would enter into us and we may live with you forever. We trust that you will provide for his current congregation of Bethlehem
as they prepare for an upcoming pastoral vacancy. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of hosts, you are the true source of life, which you give us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Humble those who are given authority over the lives of our people, that they would discharge this duty honorably in accordance with your will. We pray for peace where there now is war. We pray for safety for those who serve in our nation's armed forces, including Drake and McKenna, as they may be in harm's way. We thank you for the service of law enforcement officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, and healthcare professionals as they care for us in your name. Lord, in your mercy, O great Redeemer, we hope in you, for with you there is steadfast love and redemption. We cry to you on behalf of those who are suffering affliction in any way, including Roy, Donna, Evelyn, Nolan, Rhonda, Ron, Lindsay, Bryce, Zachary, Brandy, Avery, Jeff, Debbie, Reverend Hagen, Gail, Randy, Lori, Kelly, Alan, David, Danny, Inez, Mary Lou, Charlotte, Kathy, Elliot, Reverend Schneider, Rhonda, and those we name before you in the silence of our own hearts. Assure them that their iniquities have been washed away in Christ, and their sins are forgiven in his blood. Grant them healing and relief from all their burdens according to your will. Lord, in your mercy, mighty God, you have shown us your great mercy through the death of your Son, Jesus. You have called us to a lively faith in him as the Lord of our lives and our Savior from sin. We pray that you would continue this trust and confidence in the lives of your servants, Janet, Norma, Walter, Millie, Dolores, Dorothy, Carol, and Phyllis. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Father, your Son is indeed the resurrection and the life, in whom all the dead will rise, and through whom your elect will live eternally in your presence. As you gave that promise to Mary and to Martha in our gospel reading, we trust now that you will give comfort to all those who mourn the loss of loved ones to physical death, as we certainly remember especially Matthew's family at this time of his sudden passing and his tragic loss to them, that they might not grieve as those who have no hope, but trust as those whose hope and joy and confidence is in the crucified and risen one, your Son, Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God Almighty, through your Son, you have kept the promise of the ages and rescued us from sin. You have raised up the dry bones of a people captive to death and made us alive in Christ forever. Sustain us in this hope that we may endure the tests, the trials, and the troubles of this life and be ready when our Savior comes again in all his glory. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue our worship with the gathering of our offerings. please stand and sing as our offertory hymn 955 is printed in your worship book. In your kingdom and teach us all to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We remain standing as we sing our hymn to depart. Hymn 537, Beautiful Savior, hymn 537.